Welcome to the Nowracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and we have a really fascinating lineup for you today, covering some major shifts in both data privacy and open source hardware.
That's right. We're going to start by looking at Virginia, which just became the third state in the U.S. to outright ban the sale of precise geolocation data. This new law went into effect on July 1st, and it represents a massive departure from the old opt-out models we've been used to for the last decade.
We will also be diving into some highly anticipated hardware news. Valve's new Steam machine finally started reaching consumers in late June, but instead of selling their custom e-ink display accessory, they've decided to open source the entire design, so you can build it yourself.
And later in the roundup, we'll look at a heated debate between tech enthusiasts and automakers over Apple CarPlay, plus a viral critique of startup culture that's been making the rounds on Hacker News. Let's get right into it.
Our first deep dive today looks at a major development in consumer privacy law. As of July 1st, 2026, it is officially illegal to sell precise geolocation data in the state of Virginia. This comes after Governor Abigail Spanberger signed Senate Bill 338 into law back on April 13th, which amends the existing Virginia Consumer Data Protection Act, or VCDPA.
And the definition they are using for precise geolocation data here is actually very specific. The law defines it as any information that can pinpoint a consumer's location within a 1,750-foot radius. That specific distance is crucial because it's granular enough to reveal exactly which medical clinic, place of worship, or residential building someone is visiting, which is exactly the kind of sensitive movement pattern data that data brokers have been profiting from for years.
What is really striking about this legislation is how it passed. It went through the Virginia General Assembly with unanimous bipartisan support. We rarely see tech regulation pass without some heavy pushback, but this marks Virginia as the third state to enact such a ban, following the footsteps of Maryland and Oregon. It really feels like we are witnessing a fundamental shift away from the traditional notice and choice privacy frameworks.
Exactly. For a long time, the standard approach in the U.S. has been notice and choice. Companies would bury a clause in a 50-page terms of service agreement, and as long as they offered a convoluted way for consumers to opt out, they were legally in the clear to sell your location data. This new law in Virginia abandons that entirely. It says that regardless of what the user clicks, you simply cannot sell this specific high-risk data. The goal is to protect citizens from real-world harms like stalking, identity theft, and targeted scams.
But there is a potential loophole here that privacy advocates are already pointing out. The Virginia law defines a sale strictly as the exchange of data for monetary consideration clause. This is a much narrower definition than we see in states like Maryland or Oregon, where the definition of a sale often includes exchanging data for other valuable services or cross-context behavioral advertising benefits, even if cash doesn't change hands.
That is a huge caveat. If a data broker simply trades precise geolocation data with an analytics partner in exchange for access to a different proprietary dataset, no actual money has changed hands. Under a strict reading of Virginia's monetary consideration clause, that might not technically count as a sale. It leaves the door open for companies to get creative with how they barter information rather than selling it outright.
Which brings up the broader question of how tech companies are going to navigate this increasingly fragmented regulatory landscape. We now have Maryland, Oregon, and Virginia with outright bans, but they all have slightly different definitions and enforcement mechanisms. If you are a mobile app developer or a location aggregator, maintaining compliance on a state-by-state basis is becoming an absolute nightmare.
It is. And frankly, that might be exactly what privacy advocates want. The more fragmented and difficult state-level compliance becomes, the more pressure builds on tech companies to actually lobby for a comprehensive federal privacy law, just to establish a single unified standard. Until Congress acts, though, we are going to keep seeing this patchwork approach. And with the unanimous support this bill saw in Virginia, it's highly likely we'll see a dozen more states introduce similar bans in the next legislative session.
It will be interesting to see if any major data brokers try to challenge the law or test that monetary consideration loophole in court. But for now, if you live in Virginia, your location data within that 1,750-foot radius is officially off the open market. Moving from policy to hardware, we have a really interesting story coming out of Valve this week. The new compact gaming PC, the Steam Machine running SteamOS, finally started reaching consumers in late June 2026. But one of the most anticipated accessories for it, a custom e-ink display meant to show real-time system metrics, isn't something you can actually buy from Valve.
Right. Instead of manufacturing and selling it, Valve has officially open-sourced the entire design for the display, which they are calling the Inkterface. They have uploaded everything to GitLab, including the 3D print files for the faceplate, the complete bill of materials, and the necessary firmware to get it running. It's a full DIY project handed directly to the community.
The hardware breakdown they provided is actually really accessible. The core of the build relies on an Adafruit ESP32 Feather with 2 megabytes of PS RAM, which is paired with an Adafruit e-ink breakout friend and a 5.83-inch monochrome e-ink panel. That PS RAM is particularly important for handling the display buffers required to refresh a screen of that size smoothly without crashing the microcontroller.
And the cost is surprisingly reasonable. If you look at the bill of materials, the estimated cost for all those electronic parts comes in at approximately $90 to $100. And that's excluding the cost of the filament if you are 3D printing the housing yourself. For a custom, real-time telemetry display showing CPU and GPU temperatures directly pulled from SteamOS, that's a very compelling weekend project for a hardware enthusiast.
Valve has explicitly confirmed that they have no plans to manufacture or sell the Inkterface themselves. It begs the question, is this a genuine philosophical commitment to community-driven open-source hardware? Or is this just Valve realizing that manufacturing a niche, low-margin accessory is a logistical headache they'd rather avoid?
I think it is a little bit of both. Valve has a long history of supporting hardware modding, going all the way back to releasing the CAD files for the original Steam controller, and more recently, the Steam Deck. They know their core audience loves to tinker. But at the same time, spinning up a global supply chain for a $90 e-ink screen that only a fraction of Steam Machine owners will actually want is a massive distraction from their core business of selling games and the base console.
That makes sense, especially when you consider the third-party ecosystem. We are already seeing companies like JSOX, who made a name for themselves building docks and transparent backplates for the Steam Deck, signaling interest in producing retail versions of the Inkterface. If Valve open sources the blueprints, they essentially outsource the manufacturing risk to these third-party companies.
Exactly. The DIY community gets the thrill of building it from scratch, and in a few months, the people who just want a plug-and-play solution will be able to buy a pre-built version from a third-party vendor for maybe $150. It's a win-win for Valve. They get the goodwill of the open-source community without having to deal with the customer support tickets when someone accidentally cracks their e-ink panel during assembly.
It is a brilliant strategy. And it continues to set Valve apart from companies like Apple or even Sony, who traditionally lock down their hardware ecosystems as tightly as possible. If you want to check out the blueprints or start ordering parts for your own Inkterface, the repository is live on GitLab right now.
A blog post titled Half-Baked Product by the developer Welly reached the top of Hacker News on July 3rd, sparking a massive debate about modern startup culture.
The post is a pretty scathing critique of founders who lack domain expertise and push incomplete products into the market just to secure venture capital. It contrasts that hyperscaling obsession with the value of slow-growth businesses that actually prioritize product utility.
It clearly struck a nerve. The comment section was flooded with developers exhausted by the move fast and break things mentality, arguing that the incentive structure right now rewards fundraising over actual product market fit. A tech writer, Casey Liss, published a piece arguing that Apple's CarPlay is an additive feature, pushing back against automakers who refuse to support it.
This was a direct response to Rivian's chief software officer, Wassim Ben Said, who told The Verge's Decoder podcast that CarPlay takes over every single pixel in the car. Liss points out that modern versions, like CarPlay Ultra, have affordances to let the manufacturer's interface coexist seamlessly with the phone projection.
It really highlights the ongoing turf war. Automakers claim they want to protect the user experience, but critics argue it's just a strategic move to control the dashboard data and force drivers into native subscription services.
That is going to do it for today's episode of the NorakCast Tech Briefing. Thank you for listening.
We will be back tomorrow with more of the latest news in tech, AI, and hardware. Stay safe out there.